It looks like
who are we just talking to about
this
how
this is our new episode of Speaking Millennial, and we are recording. We are back.
We're talking about forehead wrinkles.
Jessica, let me just explain to me what it's like inside a girl's brain. Are you just constantly
recording right now?
I know.
Can we introduce ourselves?
Well, yeah, let's reintroduce ourselves, and then I'll ask the question, because my wife will do this too. She'll look at a picture, and I should be staring at it, and I'll be like, oh my God, does she, is
you
it like
women see different things?
Well, is it like National Treasure? Is she like looking through this? Is there like a map to gold on this? And she'll be like, oh, I don't like the way my eyes look in this.
No,
or
that's
like,
I hit Jay Black. The start button, yeah. And I was making an expression because I knew I kind of like wasn't sure what I messed up. And you guys were commenting on my face. And I was like, you're commenting on
right,
my eyebrows
fair,
because I've got way more wrinkles on my forehead than I did like a year ago,
no,
apparently.
I think what happened was, Jay, you were commenting on the expressions. You were making different expressions, and it was either showing fear or disgust or something was going on that we were not privy to see what you were looking at on the screen.
I think that's another guy-girl difference. My wife...
Wait, do we need to introduce ourselves to start this?
Yes, yeah, let's start.
This is like then, episode 725 of Speaking Millennial. I am Bill Spadia, and I'm here with Jay Black and Jessica Nutt.
Okay,
so I think it is episode 66.
66, and here's a word from our sponsors.
Now I gotta pause. I gotta find that and put that in.
It's at a minute 15.
Instead of just talking about it.
We have a couple new sponsors in 2018. Rob Dukansky of RE/MAX First Advantage. You can reach him at 855-350-1015 or online at robsellsnj.com. True story, Rob sold my house in 3 days. I spent a lot of time in real estate. I'm a licensed broker in a few states, and I can tell you, Rob Dukansky is the best. We're happy to have him on board, Speaking Millennial. Our other big sponsor for 2018, CSI Group. The CSI Group, you can reach them at 1-800-TAX-LAWS or CSICPA.com. This is a family business, but they've got locations all over New York and New Jersey, and I'm going to tell you, taxes are too complicated to go it alone. Don't think that you're going to go online and just plug and play and get it done. You don't want to have a letter from the IRS a couple years after you file your taxes and find out you made a big mistake. And the CSI Group will give you a free consultation. So all you got to do is call them at 1-800-TAX-LAWS and they will help you out. Remember, you don't know what you don't know.
There's a lot of really cool stuff about our new sponsor, Tito's Handmade Vodka. And I could tell you about all of it. I could tell you how great it tastes. I could tell you how it's the best way to relax after a hard day. I could tell you that it's distilled from corn, so it's gluten-free. I could tell you that it's made right here in America, in Texas. And not just Texas, the best part of Texas, Austin. It's the best part of Texas. I tell you the thing I love most about Tito's Handmade Vodka. They use old-fashioned pot stills and they taste test every batch. It's the same way that they make fine single malt scotches and high-end French cognac. Why is this amazing? Well, it's amazing because, as John F. Kennedy said, we don't go to the moon because it's easy. We go to the moon because it's hard. And this is a harder way to make vodka, but it makes for better vodka. That's why it's handmade vodka, and that's why you gotta go out and get Tito's Handmade Vodka right now.
I'm happy to talk about one of our sponsors, great sponsor, good friend, Vinny Brand, owns the Stress Factory in New Brunswick. The website is stressfactory.com. Vinny Brand runs one of the great comedy clubs, honestly, in the country. Not only does he have A-list comics coming in almost every single week, but the show is great. The food is fantastic. The staff, the service, there's parking right next door. If you've not discovered the Stress Factory in New Brunswick, you've got to get there. Go to stressfactory.com and buy your tickets. It's a great night out, reasonable cost, absolutely hilarious entertainment, great food and hospitality. Stressfactory.com.
Looking for a car, new or used? This is Jay Black to tell you there's no better destination than our friends at the Flemington Car and Truck Country family of brands, located on Route 202 and 31 in Flemington and at Flemington.com. Here you will find 16 automotive brands, plus over 500 available certified pre-owned vehicles to fit every budget. You'll get the financing, the trade-in value, and the credit you need, and dependable vehicle service maintenance that delivers peace of mind. Choose from Ford, Lincoln, Audi, Volkswagen, Porsche, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Cadillac, Infiniti, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram, BMW, and Subaru. Shop them all, knowing every Flemington Car and Truck Country location has earned the coveted dealer-rated customer satisfaction award for 2017 based on your reviews. The Flemington Car and Truck Country family of brands, an honest, straightforward organization that has been satisfying customers for over 40 years. Family, independent, not corporate. Visit any of their 8 dealership locations on routes 202 and 31 in Flemington or at Flemington.com.
My wife will get like a text and she'll read the text and I'll like be like looking at her reading the text. And if this were a movie, you would think that the text that came across was like, unfortunately, 2 of your sons were killed in World War II.
Right.
But like, then she'll be like, dad can't make it for dinner. Like, and I'll be like, why did your face look like it was so serious? And she's like, I don't know. I was just reading it. Then I realized men, like our expressions are like at half the energy level of female expressions. Like if you were to look at that, you'd be like, eh. And I'd be like, what? And be like, right. Oh yeah, 2 of my kids were killed in World War II. And I'd be like, anyway, moving on. Versus a girl whose face gets like all sorts. So I was looking at Jessica's face and her eyebrows were going up and down.
So wait, what, you thought like something really was going on?
No.
I've lost the thread. What was going on?
So she was looking at the screen and her face was making all these expressions.
I hit one button instead of another and nothing looked the same as it usually did. And that's all.
How did you get to eyebrows and wrinkles?
Because she was doing this, like, why? And I was
the expression.
And then I was Jessica, your expression. But I didn't get to finish my thought. I was going to say that. But then Jessica immediately went to, I know I have wrinkles on my forehead.
That's what you guys were commenting on.
No, we weren't. We were talking about your face making expressions.
Here's what happened. I was not here. Wait, someone's calling. It's Chase Anthony.
Oh, he's actually calling?
Hello? Adopted a bit of Jay's paranoia.
Yeah, that's a lot of paranoia.
Because I wasn't here for balance.
I don't want to be.
Is this Chase? Chase? Oh.
Hello?
That's what happened,
Wait,
Jessica.
I'm sorry. Hi, Chase. Are you there now?
I wasn't here for the balance.
I am here.
Hey, Chase. Anthony, the great, the one, the only. What's going on, Chase? It's Bill. How are you, man?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Good. You're here with my co-hosts, Jay Black and Jessica Nutt.
Hello. How are you guys?
I am so impressed that you're actually there because I talked to Bill. I said, Bill.
Oh, when do you hear this, Chase? When do you hear this nonsense?
I said, Bill, when did you reconnect with Chase to let him know about, like, to remind him? Because I know comedian. I'm a comedian myself. I understand that, like, we all say yes to everything. And then people say, hey, you have that thing. And then you go, oh no, I'm not going to do that. So I'm very impressed that you're actually here and followed through. That's great. Thank you, Chase.
Yeah, that's a little bit of that corporate background. It keeps you somewhat, you're like, all right, I know I'm getting one thing, and then I can go and just kind of fuck off the rest of my day. But, you know, I get this one thing out the way, and I can go be irresponsible
pretty
much.
You can't say fuck off on this podcast.
You can't. We actually, Chase.
You can repeat it, but you can't be the first one to say it.
We figure how many seconds it takes for us to get into a podcast before we need to put the explicit label on. So anyway, congratulations. Yeah, minute 20. Not bad. So, hey man, you were with Sinbad.
Yep.
Awesome, right? He did great. And Jay's, you got to tell me the story about Sinbad. I do, but tell me the story about Sinbad. And but then Chase has got to tell you the story about the gangs.
Oh, okay.
You got to hear the story.
Well, I mean, mine's a quick one. I worked with Sinbad in Cleveland at Hilarities. I don't know if you've... he's probably doing theaters in Cleveland at this point. But we worked together in Cleveland. And first off, I did very well. And Sinbad did one of these things that I think is great. Like, he pulled me aside. He was like, let me tell you something. You're not going to do a lot of work as an opener because you're very strong and it's difficult to... you know, get celebrities to take you on the road if you're very strong. And I was like, oh, that sucks. And he goes, oh no, except for me, because I'm wonderful and I don't worry about following you at all. And I was like, in my head, I was like, wow, that's not cool. But then he goes up and absolutely obliterates. And I was like, oh wait, yeah. He is probably, I would say, the most underrated famous comedian currently working, Sinbad,
really?
In the sense that, well, when you hear Sinbad, you go like, oh, he's very funny. I know who he is and all that stuff. But when I hear Sinbad, I hear Sinbad, I go, you have to go see him. Like, you don't understand how good he is live.
And
like,
he just went to really the Stress Factory.
Yeah, right. You know he's good.
Well,
like, you know he's funny. You know him because he's famous. But you don't understand how good a comic he actually is. Oh. He is top 5 material. He's fantastic. But anyway, after the show, he goes, hey, do you want to go get a chocolate malted? Because in Cleveland, there's that chocolate bar there. And I was like, yes, I would like to do that, Sinbad. So we're sitting there having a chocolate malted together. And in my head, I'm like, when I was a little kid... If you would have, like, if somebody from the future, if like a door had opened up and been like, listen, you're not going to have sex in high school, but 22 years from now, you're going to have a chocolate malted with Sinbad in Cleveland. I would have high-fived myself and we're like, it's all good, man. We're getting through it. So that's my Sinbad story. Yes.
Winner. How long have you been with him, Chase? How long have you been traveling with him?
I'll say on and off for probably like 2.5-3 years.
That's a pretty good run.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. We have a good time, but then also too, I do some of the college shows and then, you know, the fun ships.
So what about the ships?
Oh yeah. What line do you do? What line do you do?
Norwegian.
Hey, me too. What's the last boat you did?
I did the Breakaway, I want to say.
Yeah, I did the Breakaway. The Getaway is the one that I'm usually on. I think the Breakaway, is that the brand new one, right?
I think it's one of the newer ones. I know it's one of the bigger ones. I've done those.
Is that the one with the racetrack, the Breakaway? Like the go-karts?
I think so. One of them has a basketball. That's the one with the go-karts.
Yeah, I did that one. Yeah.
Yeah, but you don't get to go go-karting, so it's like, oh, that's cool to hear.
Why, you can't touch any of the stuff?
Can't touch any of the passengers.
You can't do it. Really? You can't touch anything while you're on that ship, except for, like, because you're pretty much, they make you sign a contract and say, hey, so I know you can drink every once in a while, but don't get real drunk. Unless you're with the crew, and the crew is already having sex with each other, so you're kind of just sitting there like, oh, okay, cool. I'm not going to just drink and just go watch movies. I'm not going to go do that. So I might as well go read a book and watch movies and be depressed without being drunk.
Oh, yeah. No, I know that feeling.
Yeah. So
but wait, can you swim in the pool?
Nope.
Yeah, can you wait, can't go exercise really? In the gym?
You can exercise in the gym. You're allowed to do that, but you can't swim in the pool.
Are you allowed to lay out on the deck?
Nope.
And get a tan?
Nope.
Why no pool? Nope.
I think because they have such a strong anti-fraternization policy.
Somebody
like they
messed it up. Somebody messed it up. That's pretty much what happened.
I think it was Louis Ramey. If I had to make a guess, probably. Oh, you don't know Louis? He's out of Atlanta, and there's a famous story about Louis on a Norwegian boat not doing what he's supposed to do.
Yeah, that was him.
Can you talk to the passengers? Like, I'm trying to picture the scene here. You walk in, because what are they hoping to avoid?
A fraternization. They don't want
you having sex with the passengers.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go in their cabins and they can't go in yours.
Yep. They're very
throw you off the boat.
You got to get a permission slip. And if you do, you can get off the boat.
Oh, so there is a workaround.
That's a lot of work though.
So Jay, there's a workaround.
You can walk around.
No. Yeah, you can get
by yourself.
You got a permission slip, like to go see your wife. My wife's coming with me in August when I'm doing the cruise. You get a permission slip to do that. Kind of hard to get a permission slip to go to your boss and go like, she's really drunk. She's starting to sober up. So if you could sign this quickly, that would be wonderful. Yeah, that's a hard one to get. But yeah,
sign your name. I got it.
So the one of the times I had to do the boat, they force you to go through certain seminars. It depends on whichever boat that you go on.
Really?
Yeah. And one of them I came down and it was like, there was like a health and safety one. And the guy giving the speech, like he's giving it to like the three comics, but he's also giving it to like the 150 other crew members that just came on from all the different countries.
Yeah.
So he's giving like a safe sex seminar, but he's doing like a safe sex seminar that you would give to like fourth graders because
he probably does.
Right. Because you don't know like the guys from Guatemala, like what they know. So he's like, you know, hey, you need to put a condom on or you'll die. Like, you need to put a condom on. And I'm sitting there with the other comics going, I think we're good. Like, we know not to do this, right? Like, we're good.
It sounds like the scene from Mean Girls where he's like, don't have sex or you'll get pregnant.
That's exactly right. Yes.
Chlamydia.
It was like when I got confirmed and the bishop came in and said, don't touch yourself. All right, have fun. Like, that was basically his whole speech.
Really?
You guys are all men now. Don't jerk it. See you later. Then he cartwheeled out.
Chase, you never know where this is going to devolve into.
So, Chase, are you on the boat right now?
Oh, no. I'm in L.A. now. I'm in Santa Monica.
Who's on a boat right now? Oh, Mikey Winfield is on a boat right now.
Yep. We couldn't do a meeting with Mike yesterday.
Do you know him? Chase?
I've definitely met him a few times. Yeah. Love his afro.
So yes, he is a
very well maintained.
He is a character.
That's what I'm saying. It's perfect. It's like, damn, okay. I've tried, but I've never got there.
Yeah. So, how long have you been doing this?
I'm probably year eight.
And you said corporate before. So what'd you do and how'd you get into it?
I was a production accountant. I was working on like dumb shows like For the Love of Ray J, Flavor of Love, and all those stupid VH1 shows. And I was doing accounting on there and for no reason. I was doing what I thought I was supposed to be doing to make money.
Wait a second.
Like, I can't.
Did you make a lot more money?
Forever. Yeah, you actually make really good
so
money.
So you were making Amazon. Money. Yeah. You're like, I'm making too much money now.
Wait,
enough of this.
Wait a second. I just got to hear, what are some of the things that you need to account for, like on a show like For the Love of Ray J? Like, is there a lot of like...
A lot of condoms on the expense reports.
Right. And alcohol. Because at the end of the day, as much as those girls... And then you watch The Flavor of Love. How much alcohol do you think was in that budget?
I would imagine thousands of dollars.
Well, I've never seen The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. They all seem same pretty thing? Toasted.
Yeah.
A lot of booze, huh?
So that's how you make those shows happen. That's how you can script it a little bit.
Wait a second. How much cocaine is on Flavor of Love? I always assumed that was a very coke-fueled show. It's probably not
listed on the accounting.
No, but I'm sure he's seen it.
What it's like the, petty cash.
Yeah.
Miscellaneous.
All right, you don't have to answer probably for legal purposes.
I'm in the closet somewhere, you know. I can say I can plead the fifth on that.
I am right. Always skeptical of accountants that do make a lot of money because it's like, what's going on there?
Right.
Oh, I didn't think of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why'd you leave it though?
To be honest, it was you buy into that whole idea of like, hey, I'm gonna make money, I'm gonna be happy, and it just was the most unfulfilling thing that I could possibly do.
Money sucks.
Yeah. He was on the
not that money part, but it's like doing that, the redundancy, like it's just the routine. It's like I can't do this every day. And then you're no offense, but you're the only guy there, and I was in my 20s and they're looking at me like Cool.
Hey, what are you doing here?
Well, I mean, but also, yeah, like, listen. Like,
how?
Wait, were you on set with them?
At times, I was definitely on set, and then other times, I was trying to stay more so in the office because, again, I don't necessarily look the part. I'm like, again, it's like, and I was just fresh off playing, like, football and all that stuff, too. So, like, I was in shape, and it was like, cool, are you, like, a PA? I'm like, no, I'm your accountant. You're handling the money? It was always, like, a question mark.
But I would also imagine too, you're a production assistant on a show, like you're sitting there going like, is it more funny to account for all of this money or to be on the other side being irresponsible?
Wait, am I the only one that hasn't seen the show?
For the Love of Ray J?
You're not missing anything.
They follow a lot of the same format. You've never seen any similar shows?
No. It's like if you're watching
Jersey Shore.
All right, Jersey Shore. Now I know.
A lot of alcohol. So that's what it is. Reality booze, show, sex, people nonsense. Living in a house together.
Yeah. I got it.
It's like somebody watched The Bachelor and said, we can do worse. Like that's right. That was basically the pitch.
So did you start doing stand-up while you were doing that? Or are you just like, I'm done, I'm out, I'm going on stage?
No, so I went in to quit and got fired. Before I could get to my speech, his speech came and it was, you know, like I was pissed because I really wanted to get my speech out and I kept trying to get it out. He just wouldn't let it happen. Like, no, you know, you're not happy. You definitely shouldn't be here. Right. So like, you know, if you could let me start, I can tell you why I'm not happy. Yeah. But you know, you kind of shouldn't be here. So if you want, today could be your last day. And I was like,
wow,
what? And he was like, well, we could pay you for a couple extra weeks and yeah, but today could be your last day.
Wow.
I was like,
bye.
Right?
Okay.
It's a bye Felicia moment. All
right. That's it. I know. And so in a lot of ways you walk away, you're like, what? So what just happened? Like, so what just happened? What? And I walked into my other boss's office and she was like, are you okay? And I was like, nah, I don't think that it matters. I don't think that I'm going to be working here anymore. She was like, what do you mean? And she walked over there and talked to him. She's like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah. I don't know what you said. I was like, I didn't really say anything. And she was like, okay, yeah. So if you want help, I can definitely help you clean it out. And it was better than the other chick that they met at her car. They packed her stuff for her and met her at her car.
See, that strikes me
a little crazy.
That strikes me as like a Dave Mustaine and Metallica moment, like where they came to Metallica came to Dave Mustaine and said, listen, you're partying a little too hard for us. You need to leave. To be fired off the set to Flavor of Love, like where they sit there.
I wasn't working on that show at the time. I was working on, I want to say, Megan Wants a Millionaire, the show where they had.
I feel like I've missed a lot of good TV.
No, I'm sure I've watched this one.
Really?
Wait, who's Megan?
She was on Rock of Love.
Oh, that was.
I hate that I know this.
Chase, I got to tell you, man, you are an expert.
Was Rock of Love the Brett Michaels one, Chase?
Yeah, that was that one.
Could you settle a score with or settle a bet? My wife and I think that underneath that bandana, there's a flowing blonde mane for Bret Michaels. It's not to cover up any kind of baldness, right? I mean, you can.
Are you
tell
guys
us.
Like?
I just want to say somebody lost that bet.
Are you guys conflicted on this? Or?
I know. I was about to say, but just to answer, somebody did lose that bet, and the person that lost the bet is the funny person.
Yeah. Well, no, the joke that we always had is if you ever watch that show, Bret Michaels is always wearing a bandana.
And there's a reason.
And it's like he's got the bandana on, and then there's like the seven strands of blonde hair that's coming out, and you're supposed to think, wow, he must have a lion's mane of hair.
He's so confident he covers it up because he doesn't care.
But like, you just want to say to him, like, the bandana makes it worse. Like, we know what's happening.
Right?
We know. Brett.
Yes. Embrace it.
Embrace it.
Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
Shave it off. That's it.
You're a good looking guy.
Right?
You know what? Every rose will still have its thorn. Just take your bandana off.
Well played. That's a second podcast in a row.
That's hard to accept, though, like losing your hair, especially in the front. And if you have some in the back and you have that Hulk Hogan
kind
of thing going on, like.
But he embraced it.
Hold on.
Right? He had like that kind of Muppet head thing.
Well,
because
he could fight.
Right, that's true.
Like,
he
if
was
you
Hulk Hogan.
Fight, there's a lot. Yeah, you can't. What are you going to say? Ha ha ha. And then you run. Like, you can't say anything to Hulk Hogan.
He can
Bret
fight,
Michaels,
but.
You can beat up.
You can fight, but I've seen that video. He can't really sex. He's not very good at sex.
Yeah. I mean. Would you rather be able to do fighting? Yeah, sex. You're right.
Yeah,
100%.
I'm not the greatest lover in the world, but I've never stopped midway through and talked about the sushi I shouldn't have had.
Is that what happens?
You didn't see that video?
No, I told you. I don't get out much. I talk for 8 hours a day, and then I'm done.
Listen, he was having sex with his best friend's girlfriend while his best friend was in the other room because they were in a weird...
Who was filming it?
They had like, it was like cameras were built into it. It's Bubba the Love Sponge, who's a DJ in Florida. He had a complex built and he had cameras built in because his thing was watching his wife have sex with people.
All right.
So
Hulk Hogan knew about this?
So Hulk Hogan knew about this. His friend.
Is it like a newsletter? How do you know about stuff like
well,
this?
I think, you know what? I feel
is
like
an email chain or in a group text?
I feel like I if you're a guy who's into watching your wife have sex with other women, you're not exactly.
There's like a network.
Yeah, you're not exactly reticent about it.
It's a Groupon.
Oh, that's very nice. So he, like, at the beginning of the video is like Bubba Love Sponge knocking on the door like, you two have fun in there. And then he leaves.
What?
Yeah, I'm not making this up.
Chase, you didn't know this, did you?
No.
All right, so
oh
wait.
My God.
Did Hulk Hogan... All right, now let's back up a little bit. So Bubba the Love Sponge.
Yes.
This is the guy that owns the apartment complex.
Well, he owns...
Or owns a house.
It's
walk
his own...
Me through this.
So he owns a radio station or like a radio broadcasting unit down south, and he like distributes his radio program from there. He had a complex built that had all these studios in it and also his house and bedroom.
Okay, got it.
And in that bedroom, we put in a bunch of cameras because he liked to watch his wife do it with other guys. You know, he was like 500 pounds. And I guess was not exactly, you know, fit enough to do what needed to be done. So he was into watching his wife do it. So Hulk Hogan is his best friend and they're hanging out.
Oh, all right. That was the missing link. All right. The plot thinner was they knew each other.
They knew each other. He was on the show.
How do I know that Bubba the Love Sponge and Hulk Hogan are hanging out? I don't know that.
So Bubba says the beginning of the tape that this is the thing. Bubba probably released this tape. That's the thing that there's no.
So they don't talk anymore.
They're no longer best friends.
I was going to say
it is very
sad. Get-togethers, reunions, very awkward.
Yeah. So there's a knock on the door.
It wasn't good sex. If your friend releases a tape and you had some just great sex and it was just pile on pile, just your best night of your life. No matter who it is, even if a woman looked really, really good, she was like, you know, the lighting was good. I don't, you know, it came out. It was bad. I hope my mom doesn't see it, but like, I look good.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
You know?
So what happened with Hulk Hogan? He stopped in the middle?
So he's doing it, and it's not great. I've seen a lot of videos of people having sex, Bill.
How do you judge that? You're an expert.
Bill,
there's
a lot of documentaries available online about this. And midway through, he stops, and he kind of gives like a hit to his solar plexus. He goes, oh, man, I shouldn't have had that sushi. And then he goes back to it.
Wow.
Oh, right.
Oh, come on.
Oh, how closely did you watch this?
I watched it like the Zapruder film. I was sitting
back and to the left.
This is what brought down Gawker.com because this is the video that got released on Gawker. And then Peter Thiel and Hulk Hogan went together and destroyed Gawker because of this video. So this is what.
No one needed to see that.
I did.
At
they only released a minute of it, I would have watched all 4 hours. I would have watched every last bit of it.
Think about this. The burping up of the bad sushi and the smell. Like, I'm just thinking of the smell.
Well, it probably mixes with the body oil.
Probably.
What's that?
And they've been drinking.
Think about how, I mean, that could have gone way worse. And that could have really been worse than even what I'm.
And there's 500 pound Bubba that has been walking around in there. So he's probably not the best smelling guy in the entire world. Here, let me see if I can find the video for you, Bill. You guys talk amongst yourselves.
You know what? I'm good. Well, I'm good.
They crossed my mind. The video is probably not available anymore.
Oh, I'm sure Jay's got it like archived on his phone.
I'm going to the dark web, everyone.
Unless he has it saved on his iCloud from 2 years ago.
Oh, that's terrible. I would never want to see. No. Especially not Hulk Hogan.
No, I don't want to see this. I don't even like knowing this, to be honest.
No, I love it. This is what, Bill, when I was depressed, this kept me alive. There's a lot of times where I'm sitting there going,
the Hulk
like,
Hogan sex video?
It's not that bad.
I was sitting there going, you know what? I don't have Wellbutrin yet. Maybe I should end it.
And then in my head, I was like,
there might be more Hulk Hogan sex tape. I can't die yet.
I'm thinking of the sushi.
I want to get married.
I don't want to think about sushi burps.
Right? Burp. Sushi burps. Think about that. You can't get that out of your head now.
No, I can't. I feel like I'm tasting my mouth.
What if he had eel?
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
I think it's...
What do you do though if somebody does just burp and think that, like, oh yeah, and you're just sitting there like, huh, and we're supposed to keep going? Like, do you keep going?
Well, how much booze was involved before they got in the room in the first place?
That's a good question.
That's what I'm thinking.
That's a good question.
Right? Yeah. Because if they're hammered, they're not, then she didn't even notice.
Yeah, you're right.
But Jessica, you're a girl. Do you find Hulk Hogan attractive in any way?
Because he's big and strong?
Yeah.
No, because he's like greased up and oily.
Okay, I'm just making sure. I don't know. So
interesting.
Like, how good looking would a guy have to be? Jessica.
He has a lot of body oil on him.
How good looking would a guy have to be for him to stop midway through and go, oh, the sushi's bad. Shouldn't have had all that. For you to go, you know what? Let's finish. Like he's got to be Brad Pitt in 1994, right?
I'm still offended my sister had burped in front of me last time I saw her. I'm thinking about that now. And I was like, did you just? And
she was thinking about is the burping and the smell.
And she apologized. And I was like, she thought she was hiding it. I'm like, you just burped like in front of me. We were eating lunch. She's like, ew, can you go away now? Like that, I need to like move down the table.
That's just two sisters having lunch.
Yeah. Midway through sushi
burp. And I wanted to end the lunch.
Right.
I was like, this lunch is over.
Chase, to answer your question, Jessica almost ended the lunch over that.
And she knows her sister way longer than she would know any guy she's married to.
Right. That's a good point.
Wow.
I don't know.
You know what I want to do? Chase, do me a favor. You got to tell me that story we were talking about when you were here at the studio, because Jay is feverishly searching for this video. And my fear is he's going to find it, and I would kind of rather run out of time before he does.
You know what? It's probably on the porn sites. Let me go to the porn sites.
So the story about the gangs, it was an audition you did.
How have we not heard the gang story yet?
Oh no! I was
your story. It's a great story.
Yeah. So I used to live with a comedian, Crip, and a Christian, and I made sure that, you know, I say all of the above just because, you know, there's levels to it. He has a heart, you know, and I want to put that part out there. And so I have been taking improv classes, and I was still doing like some side work of working in some accounting places. So I was dressed up, and I went to a place I probably shouldn't have been doing comedy, but we all know how comedy will take you to some different places. And I went over there, and I had like went from improv class to do this show, and I was up there talking about my Crip roommate, and I was just very animated. And when I got outside, there was another comedian who was like, "Hey man, that was funny, but all those dudes over there, they waiting for you." And I was like, "What?" And it was like, "Yeah, no, all those dudes over there, they waiting for you, man. You got to know where you at." But, like, that was funny. I was like, "Yo, you saying that like you're leaving?" He was like, "Oh, yeah, I got to go pick up my son, but, like, good luck." And I was like, what the hell? My car was on the other side of them. So I tried to walk past them, and they, not that they catcalled me, but they kind of, like, called me out to where I hadn't turned around, or I knew I was, like, just going to get chased. So I turn around, and I'm surrounded by, like, 8 gang members.
Think about that.
I have a bag.
And all you're thinking is, I just killed on stage. I just killed.
Yes. Literally. And they're about to kill off stage. And all this stuff is going through my mind. So I'm like, all right, well, how is this going to work? And instantly when they ask me questions like this, so where are you from? And I'm like, Minnesota. Yeah. I gotta pick the safest place that I could possibly say. And he was like, oh, honey, you ain't got games where you from? And instantly when he said that, I looked to my right, and one of them had on a Harvard shirt, I swear to God. And I'm like, well, I mean, not like this. I mean, y'all sending people to Harvard. Like, I didn't know I could have joined a gang and went to Harvard. I would never play football. And one of them says, this ain't funny time joke, guy. And I'm like, you're right. You're right. This is probably a bad time for jokes. And their leader is laughing. He was like, no, he's good. And so I leave, right? They was like, you get up out of here. And I was like, all right. So I get home. The Crips upset. Like, no, we got to go back. I was like, no, I made it home safe. Like, it's over. The next day, I get a call from the promoter. He was like, what happened? I was like, I lived. And he was like, yeah, but like, what happened, man? You got mad respect from them. Like, they just said, man, you can come over here anytime. I said, anytime? I'm never coming back.
Back. You really had a Harvard shirt on, though?
I swear. I was sitting there. I was like, this isn't real. This isn't real. I can't, like, how? Where did you get that shirt, first of all? And to this day, I don't know where he got that shirt.
So did you ever go back?
No. I would never go back.
That's the life lesson.
That area.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You get away, you live, you move on.
Yeah.
You move on.
Yeah.
I just hearing that story happen to a guy because I'm like, oh, creepy people like follow girls back towards their car in the city all the time.
Right.
It's like actually happens to guys. Huh.
It does. You're in the wrong neighborhood.
Talking about the wrong stuff because they were all the opposite gang. And I was up there very familiar with the other gang. And I was like, oh, this is interesting.
Can you imagine?
And since that day, I'm like, no, you don't need to tell jokes everywhere. So, it's okay.
Do you still do the bit?
Sometimes. But again, I survey the crowd.
Yeah, you gotta know where you are. You're safe in Jersey. You know. Like, the Stress Factory is a relatively safe area to do that.
Facts. And most of Sinbad's gang member people, they're retired. Like, they're reformed gang members. So, like, they hopefully they not still with it and run up on the stage and I'm talking about it. But I've talked about it on stage, and it's funny. I just did a show with him the other day, and he is still him. A Christian and a comedian. He stuck with the C's. I give him credit.
That's great.
I give him credit.
Hey, man, what do you have coming up next?
I fly out tomorrow to go do the other Stress Factory in Bridgeport.
Oh, you're doing Bridgeport. All right, so are you and Sinbad both doing it?
Yep.
You're doing what? I don't know what today is. Today's Wednesday?
Yes. Podcast day.
It's podcast day. So you're doing Thursday, Friday, Saturday in Connecticut.
Yep.
That's great, man. Sorry we missed you on Saturday. You know, 92 things happen at once. Sorry I missed you. But next time.
Oh, you know what you missed?
Tell me.
I think that was that night. As soon as I got on stage, got a couple minutes into my set, someone had a seizure.
What?
Stage left.
No way.
And I'm sitting there like, all right. So,
what do you do?
The only reason why I knew what to do is because I've been on the road with Sinbad. And so I've seen somebody have a heart attack in his audience.
Yeah.
And
is it because you're so funny?
That's what I was saying. Right?
Yeah.
What
do you do?
To be honest, what I end up doing was just seeing if there was any nurses in the audience and then kind of touching on it a little bit and then kind of getting everybody's attention back a little bit, then give them a little laugh, then go for a bigger laugh, then talk about some serious stuff because then it really gets their attention. And as they were kind of carting the guy out.
I was going to say, meanwhile, the guy's on the floor flipping around.
Yeah.
And you're still going. That's impressive. That's a pro.
For Sinbad. Like, right. At the end of the day, like, because I know that eventually, like, they are going to do this, and I know that, you know, a lot of people would be bummed out if they didn't necessarily get a show. So I was like, all right, well, it's not necessarily your call. If they want to call this off, they'll stop you at any point.
Wow.
I'm impressed. That's a high level of that, though, because you're in charge of the energy of the crowd when you're performing like that. Mm-hmm. I just saw a video. I don't know if you saw this. Chase, tell me if you saw it. There's a Chick-fil-A in Austin where a guy starts choking. And did you see this?
No, I was thinking you're going to tell the he chased after the drive-thru guy who forgot his food.
No, I don't know if I saw that. Wait, what do you hear this? So they're sitting in a booth. They're like three rows.
Right.
Guy starts choking. And the woman, like two seats away, she's eating her fries. She looks over, does it once over, goes back to eating the fries.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah.
So we did a segment on it tonight because I'm like, in Austin. I'm like, people just don't care. There's an employee at the next table wiping the table. Just nothing, walks away. Thankfully, somebody jumped over, came like around the counter and saved the guy.
Every time I see that show ABC, What Would You Do?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, please don't be filming near me because I will always do the wrong thing.
Jay would have been right. Jay would have looked back to his phone and said, I got to find that Hulk Hogan video.
Yeah, I would have been.
It's got to be here.
I would have filmed it and said, look at this jerk off dying. Posted it to Reddit.
It would have been it.
Ruining his flight.
I'm impressed, man. That's got to be hard for when something goes completely wrong that no one could ever teach you or tell you is going to happen. And it happens. And that had so that was the first time for you. Or was the first time when you were on stage?
That was the first time with me being on stage, something like that happened. I've had couples argue. You know, you have hecklers, you have mics go out, had electrical problems, stuff like that, but never like literally life or death situation. I'm like, okay.
Chase, this is something I've always said. People who book comedians think comedians are magical. So they just go like, well, it doesn't really matter what happens. There's no microphone, no light. Someone died in the front row. There's an argument going on between two little people who have been dating in a same-sex marriage for some time. But you'll just be funny. Just go do your thing. Just make it happen. And you go like, okay, yeah, go do that. And it usually works, but nobody understands the amount of turmoil that your stomach is going through when you're up there trying to make it work.
Oh, my God. And then half of the time, you're like this. Why am I up here? Why am I up here? You guys are looking at me. Let's switch places.
Yeah.
At any point. Come on. Well, I want you guys to see this because there's something that you can't control, especially when people are like drunk and belligerent.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Funny hecklers are the ones I think that get you the worst because they get the audience on their side.
The audience laughs.
Well, generally speaking, if the guy's legitimately funny and hits you with something that you weren't expecting, most comics I know will just stop and go, all right, that was good. You know, what can I tell? That was very funny. What can I say? And that becomes a moment. It's the drunk and belligerent ones where, like, it doesn't matter how hard you slam them. They don't feel shame anymore. They're too drunk to feel it. So that's when you just have to look at management and go, you got to get rid of that guy.
Isn't it better to ignore them? We did a show, Jay, Jessica, and I did a charity show.
The comics get very worked up.
Did you notice how some of the comics got really pissed off?
Yeah.
And they start yelling back.
Who's that guy?
Yeah.
I was surprised at that.
No, I didn't
mention any names, but some people were hitting back. Chase, what do you do? Like, to me, you just ignore it. It's happened to me, and I ignore it.
Well, you and I are both near sociopaths, so we don't.
Is that what it is?
Lack of empathy. We're like, hey, it doesn't matter.
You're like, he likes me.
Yeah, that guy's shouting out. He must think I'm
wonderful. Somebody's yelling. There's noise in the room. It's not dead silence. I'm making progress.
Things are going great.
Hilarious.
Oh, man.
No, I mean, sometimes I think sometimes you have to acknowledge it. And my go-to sometimes is always like, man, I got a family member just like you. And then I'll go into a joke because we do literally have a family member just like them that gets drunk at every family function. You're like, here we go again, Uncle Charles.
So we all have that. Have huh?
it. Chase, is that it? You know what I like to do?
Hey, if you don't have that, is it you?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Is that it?
I try to Mr. Rogers them sometimes. Well, I just look out and go, you all right? Everything okay?
Yeah.
They usually stop some of their tracks and they'll be like, what do you mean? I'm like, I don't know. It just feels like shouting out in public is something that somebody who's gone through something would do. So like, if you need to talk, like I'm here. Let's just talk. I mean, these people, they'll be cool. Just tell me what's wrong. And generally by that point, they're like, just do your act, man. Just do your act.
And I'm
like,
leave me alone. I'll do my act,
but you know, I want to help you.
And that's such a sincere voice. I almost confess some shit. stuff. I'm sorry.
We know what you were doing in that passenger's cabin, Chase. Come on.
All right, man. Hey, what's up? What's on the because we're gonna put this on in 2 weeks. You'll have just done the Stress Factory Bridgeport, and then what do you got next for the next couple of weeks this summer?
Then I'll be in at Off the Hook Comedy Club in Naples, and then West Nyack. I want to say.
Yeah, that's it.
All right. So those are the next couple of shows.
All right, man. So people can follow you on Twitter at Chase Comedy. Where else can they get your schedule?
And the website, chasecomedy.com, Instagram at Chase Comedy. Yeah. Facebook at Chase Comedy. All of the above.
Awesome.
Keep it simple.
Nicely done, man. This is good.
Yeah, really enjoy this. Thanks for coming on, Chase, and we'll have you back on the radio when you guys are in town. Kill it this weekend. That club in Bridgeport is fantastic. Literally, he just opened it a couple weeks ago. It's awesome.
Oh, that's dope. That's dope. Yeah. And Jay, thank you, because I know you know what I'm doing as soon as we hang up.
Have fun.
I do. Thank you.
All right, man.
Have a good one.
Eating sushi?
Well played.
By himself. What every comic does.
Bye.
All right. See you, Chase.
He was a really good guy.
I didn't want to ask.
Well, imagine what degenerates who don't have anybody else around would do in any given situation.
So is he on the road? Where is he? In Connecticut?
He's probably in LA.
He's flying out tomorrow. He's in LA. They have great sushi there.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's going to the sushi. But
he'll eat sushi.
I mean, the second you said he opened for Sinbad, I knew he was good because Sinbad is. And again, it sounds like I'm blowing smoke. The guy's off the phone now. Bill, Sinbad, underrated, right?
So
good on stage.
So good. So when I first started doing comedy, so what's it been now? A year and a month.
I started last May,
right? With that, funniest reporter in New York?
Right.
So I got the bug. I feel very good now. By the way, I've now timed out the segments so I can move them around depending on how much time I have.
Perfect.
How about that?
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I feel really good. So I'm on stage at the Stress Factory. And I do my bit. This was after I graduated from jokes. I moved, right. And I did.
The dog joke is gone. The muffin joke is no more.
All gone. What was the other one I had?
The penguin joke.
So they're all gone. So I'm doing the bit. And then it's the one about my wife in the airport, right? So I finish up the set. I bring up Sinbad. He comes up and I shake his hand. I'm walking up. He said, No, stay right here.
Right.
And there's a
you
great picture.
You stayed on stage for that? I didn't know
I stayed on stage.
I figured you just went to the back of the room.
No, listen, I stayed on stage and he starts breaking down my set.
Right.
He does the whole set for me, with me, adds to it, makes it a little better, brings the crowd in. I'm like, oh my God.
And he's destroying the entire time, I'm sure. He's just destroying the crowd. Yeah.
And I'm just standing there like just basking in the glow of Sinbad.
Right.
And I'm like, first thing I asked Vinny when I got off stage, I'm like, so you got that, right? He's like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He got none
did,
of it.
Got nothing. None of it. There's no tape, nothing. Right. Because it was one of my first few times on stage.
What a special moment.
Yeah.
It was a huge moment.
Vinny, did you take a picture? Did you do anything?
No, you know what there is? There's like some Getty or some photographer took it, and there's a watermark over it, and it's sitting on the internet, but I'm not going to pay for it.
Yeah. It's terrible. But
how about that?
Here's the thing about him.
Anyway, he great guy, gentleman, nice, friendly, smart, funny as hell.
And much funnier.
Underrated as a stand-up.
Whatever you think of him, he is better than that. I mean, whatever you're thinking right now, go see him.
Well, don't you think of him as movie guy?
Yeah,
TV guy. Of him as an actor.
I really want to go see him now. But
you have to. I'm telling you, you should go see him in Connecticut.
It's worth it. Call Vinny. He'll get you tickets.
I don't have anything better to do than to drive up.
What, do you got a wedding coming up?
Yeah.
Come on, you're fine. Drive to get. The Bridgeport Club is nice.
Yeah, I saw pictures.
We should do something there.
Well, I mean, let's talk to Vinny. We got to get
You mean Vinny Brand, the Stress Factory, our sponsor?
Yeah.
I've not been there. My son's been there.
But that's why I figured you would go
Michael's
there too.
Been there.
And we got to talk to him about our gig. We got a thing coming up in October, probably, with Vinny. We can set that up. Is that done? Is that a done deal?
I called him today. Here's what happened. So I called Vinny, one of our great sponsors.
Wonderful man.
Who has not returned his wedding invite.
He has not. Has Jay?
Response card.
Has Jay?
Mine's back.
You know, I didn't trust the mail service, which is, I sent you the picture. I'm like, she now knows.
That's all.
I have responded.
You sent it back like a week ago.
Did you get mine?
I don't have a chart. I don't know. That's why I'm like, did you send it?
Here's what I think of my.
You know I did because I sent you the picture.
I know people will text me back their responses and I have to go dig them up later.
No, I did that, but then I also physically mailed it.
All right.
I'm almost positive I'm in a pile of people she was hoping wouldn't say yes. I'm almost positive.
There are three piles.
Yep, and I'm sure that's one of them.
Wait, what? First pile is yes. Second pile is no. Third pile is yes.
Jesus
no.
Christ.
From Chase's family, probably, and I don't know who they are.
Got it. Okay, fair enough.
So I have to get them identified before they go back into
the other hair samples? Or taking it to CSI? I'm just trying to, how do you figure that out?
Because I'm going to have to go up and shake hands with these
people. You're going to have to meet everyone.
And I'm not going to know them, and I'm going to be really annoyed.
Is he going to introduce? That's odd, though, right? Yeah. I don't remember. There must have been introductions. I'm assuming I met most people before they were at the wedding.
My dad was a business guy, so he
had, I don't know.
Like,
I don't,
a lot, but not all.
There was a whole bunch of guys.
It's like at a Christmas party or somebody's, right?
Yeah.
Chase's parents' like house, once. You're going to meet.
Yeah.
Right.
But then you have like parent invites. Like my dad had a business, like he invited business associates, and my father-in-law invited a bunch of like people that he liked, and you know. So there's a whole bunch of people that I'm meeting where I'm like, all right, well, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
You help pay for this.
So that's the pile.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but I don't care who those people. I mean, I'd shake their hands.
But Jay's thinking there's another pile, and that is, they said yes.
And Jay's in that pile.
And Jay feels like he's... That's why you were worried about the whole wrinkle thing.
Yeah.
You got a healthy dose of Jay's paranoia because I was not here for the balance of the karma in the room.
Yes.
That's what that was. The energy in the room needs balance, Jay.
Yeah.
You need the negative and the positive. We have to... I was on some topic...
Oh, you're talking Simba.
What the hell was I talking about?
Oh, Vinny Brand with our thing with the thing that he's doing.
So Vinny, thank you. So I'm on the phone with him today. And I'm like, hey, Vinny, what about October? We talked about this. There's something in North Jersey, too. So you know, he's like, hold on a minute. There's something going on.
Oh, no.
So apparently the SWAT team was out. He was driving in Trenton. And I hear Vicky, his wife, in the background. Like, no, wait. Look at that. And I'm like, Vinny, is something going on? He's like, yeah, there are guys with the shields and the guns and the whole thing. I'm like, stop your car and give me a video. He said, because Pickard didn't happen. And if it's something going on that I'm then going to hear about later on the wire and then I'm going to put in the show,
right.
We'll interview you and we'll do your video. Haven't heard from him since.
Really?
Yeah, he hung up.
Is he alive?
Oh, my God.
I hope he's alive.
I'm sure he's fine. But
he's got like 5 knives and 13 guns.
He's fine.
He
should be good.
He can't really pull over in some parts of Trenton.
Well, he was circling. And I think Vicky was going to take the video. Now, fair enough, I have not followed up because it's been a long day, so I don't know. I will call Vinny when we're done to make sure.
Oh, dear.
We should wrap this up.
Yeah, we should. Is our next guest here?
We're going to see. Oh, she's mermified yet.
I mean,
are we bringing in Kylie?
We should talk about Nicole Perino, who is not here. Want to know why?
She had a millennial moment.
Millennial moment. She forgot.
She's not
she
coming?
She just texted us, said, I'm not coming. I forgot.
Well, which is more impressive than Chase.
All right, so we should.
Was here and called in.
We should call Kylie.
Who actually showed up.
So it was like the reverse. We like thought. Yeah.
Yes, we thought Chase Anthony was going to blow us off. Well, you did. I didn't. I was totally confident
only because we didn't remind everyone.
And only because he's a comedian that doesn't like, if someone were to text me right now and say, you agreed to be on a TV show, I go, oh, I know.
Maybe I did.
That doesn't sound like me.
But Nicole clearly knew.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Let's end this.
All right.
We're going to bring Kylie out for the next one.